Hi, and welcome to episode 236 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And today, it's been a while since we've chatted, quite a few weeks. So we thought we'd have a general catch-up chat. We don't know where it's going. Eventually, it will go somewhere and it will have a title. But for now, it's just general catch-up. And so I suppose our beginning question of what have you been up to is also our main topic. So what have you been up to, Alice?
I wonder if we should have a beginning bit that actually says who's who for new listeners who aren't sure.
What a good idea. Shall we start again? Because I've just not done it.
No, let's just go from now. And okay. This came about from, we were just chatting beforehand. And of course, last week I was talking to Joe McCarthy and Louise said to me, she got lots of lovely messages from people who said, "You're doing great on the podcast." She said, "That wasn't me." So we thought we'd have a little
Joe,
chat.
Joe, you got lots of lovely comments, but they some of them came to me.
She did get lots of lovely comments. So let's have a little who's who just to start the year again. So I am Alice. This is me. Louise said she's the one with the posh voice. I am today
You're the one with the posh voice.
Posh voice.
Yeah, Alice is the one with the posh voice. Sorry, go on.
It's not really posh. It's not really posh. It's just because I'm from down south. Although I could do down south in a South London accent, which is where
you don't do that.
So yeah, I live in London and I have got two children who are quite grown up now. They're still hovering around at home. And a husband and an aging dog who now has non-slip socks. And I used to work from my studio at home, and now I have a studio outside of my house, which I go to less frequently than I did when I was working at home. So for those of you who crave for a studio outside home, that is the downside to it for me, is the travel time. But yeah, I used to be a graphic designer, and then I stopped doing that and came back to making art. I was very used to saying 10 years ago, but it's like 15 years ago now.
Time flies.
And time flies and also builds on each other. And I think this is something that maybe is top of mind to say, is that there are a lot of frustrations, I think, when you're a newer artist. And I think when I was at the right back at the beginning of the journey and feeling like there were a lot of doors closed to me, I felt, well, I could wait for all those to be opened, or I could just keep doing what I'm doing and see where it takes me. And I think that's what I've tried to do all the way through, is just keep saying, okay, well, what is there a way around this? Or how could I do this differently? Or the biggest one when I got really frustrated is, and so what? Are you going to stop doing what you want to do? Or are you going to keep going and doing it anyway? Yeah. And it just seems to me that that's a little bit top of mind when we come to this part of the year and everyone's like, okay, I want to do all these big goals. It's like, okay, the biggest goal is, what do you want to be doing? And that's it. Anyway, that's not about me, but this is Alice. This voice is Alice. And you can find my not very up-to-date website at alicesheridan.com. And hang out a little bit more frequently on Instagram at Alice Sheridan Studio. And then this is Louise.
This is me. I was just thinking, before I go on about me, what you said about doors opening and it being difficult at the beginning. If I think back over the last 10 years of becoming a professional artist, I wasn't a professional artist for all of those 10 years. It's, to me, a series of letting go of beliefs that were holding me back. And I'm still doing it. I've just done it recently again. Like, letting go of things I think are true so that I can find out what's actually true, which is usually something completely different. Turns out I'm not right about everything, which I thought I was. So I live in Yorkshire, but I used to live in Canada and then in the US. So this is now been, though, 10 years, 12 years back here. 11 years, I'll get it right eventually. 11 years in the UK. So I am fully back home here. Moved here with my husband, but we're separated. So I live with my dog and my cat, a very peaceful life here in the Yorkshire Dales, where it's absolutely beautiful. And what can I say about? So I, when I first moved back here, I wasn't painting. And then I started painting. And then, as I said, through a series of people who helped me let go of ideas I had, I've ended up in a place where I can live off teaching art online and painting. And I could never have imagined when I moved back here that that was possible. Mm. I always thought artists were some kind of mythical beings who either were so gifted that they just elevated to the heights of, say, Monet or Jackson Pollock or Tracy Emin, or they were subsidized or funded by someone who gave them money to do what they wanted to do, whether that be a spouse or a family member or a patron or something. I just thought it was a world that couldn't possibly be open to me. And now I've learned that's not true and that you can do it all yourself. And one of the reasons that I felt like we should do this podcast, and I think you felt the same, is that when you realize that, you want to share that, the reality of it with other people. It's not like it's all been sunshine and roses in the last 11 years, but just realizing how much is in your power to do and change and control is it's a revelation, and it can really change your trajectory as an artist. So I love doing this podcast because I hope that's what we do for people.
Yeah, all the little ripples that go out. And also, you listening, you will also be creating all your own ripples too. But never underestimate that, I think. The messages that come back, yes. You know. And it doesn't just come from you having to have a podcast that reaches thousands of people or running huge, you know, those ripples can be from, you know, your children or the friends or the people around you when they see you doing something that they didn't think was possible. Okay, last thing on who's who and who does what. Mm-hmm. Say your name again and what are the things that you offer for artists?
Okay, I'm Louise Fletcher. I offer a membership called Art Tribe, which is all about creativity. It's about inspiring creativity and different ways to access your own creativity. And I teach a course once a year sometimes, not sure about this year, called Find Your Joy, which is a 12-week program, again, about the same thing, really, how to find your own artist voice. And I have a free YouTube channel and I do a newsletter every Sunday, which you need to sign up for, and which you can sign up for on my website, which is linked below. And I have Instagram and Facebook, and you can find me there on Louise Fletcher Art. And you are?
I am Alice Sheridan, and I am not as prolific as Louise. I have a membership called the Connected Artists Club, which is a smaller membership. It's not just focused on the exploring your creativity, because I believe that we all do that differently in our own ways, which I know Louise agrees with. So we have different beliefs on that. It's just that we do things in a different manner. So I saw a gap when I started that 6 years ago now, for artists wanting to get their work out in the world and keep hold of their sense of who they were as artists. And I think that came from my experience of working as an artist and as a mother at the time with small children, and that thing of like really keeping connected with who you are, which is how the name came about. And then when we have to step into that world of kind of marketing and selling, and even if we don't call it marketing, just getting our work out in the world, how we do that and still feel good and okay about it. And I would say that is the tenet of what we do inside Connected Artists. We have all the systems and the structures and the learning things, but the place that it's lovely for is that everybody's doing things their unique way, but they're on that journey towards getting their art out in the world and doing amazing things. And I'm not prolific on YouTube. There is a YouTube channel, there is nothing on it. And I have a small course called Time to Shine, which is available that anybody can take, which is about discovering what you need to do or think about differently to just increase your own visibility. And again, I think that came from that real sense of seeing people frustrated with that, feeling of how do I say what I need to and shed some of these beliefs about what it takes to get my work out in the world. So that's why that one was created. And that's it. My membership isn't open all the time. Louise's is. You can join hers. Mine is currently closed. I like to welcome people in together. That might change this year, but at the moment it's closed because we're in the process of shifting from a Facebook group to Mighty Networks. And yeah, I might do like a little mini sneaky if you want to come in and get the Facebook archive.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, because that will stay. We just won't be using it.
Why are you being so modest about your accomplishments? I just want to say that I'm a founder member of your group, and it has been instrumental. Your teaching has been instrumental in helping me in my art career. So Alice has been overly modest the way she talks about it, because it's not a small group. It's a sizable group, and it's got so much stuff in it.
Got lots of stuff.
To plan your artist life, to organize your artist life, to be more business savvy, to do all the things you have to do, and some really good insights on creativity as well. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I think that's enough, because sometimes when we talk about ourselves, sorry, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe I'm being hesitant because I'm not in a place to be open about it. And I think it's a bit frustrating when you hear about something and you can't,
yeah, and
get,
you
in.
Can't get in.
So
yeah.
There is a little bit of apology in that. And that's simply because things are changing. And I think I'm also changing slightly in my focus. And I don't have a desire for that group to be huge. I love the intimacy that we have within that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just seeing where that settles at the moment. But, yeah, I love it.
I was going to say that when we talk about anything we do, we always get some grumpy commenter on our review page telling us that we shouldn't do so much self-promotion and it's very annoying. And I just want to point out to that person before you start typing that there are no adverts on our podcast. And our podcast is one of the very few podcasts that we don't cash in, we don't ask for money from sponsors, we just make the podcast. And every once in a while, we let you know what we do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Also, on the subject of apology, I just want to give a little bit of a preview. And I can't do this normally because we're not normally organized enough for what's coming next week. But next week, I've got an interview that I did with Sarah Dalrymple, whose book, More Sales, Please, was published this week. And is at Amazon bestseller level already. Lots of Kindle purchases. I bought it on Kindle, even though I have the hard copy. And one of the things that she talks about is not making apologies. So you can listen more about that next week. It's a nice listen.
Yes.
Saying to Louise, I think she's a great match for our audience. So I hope you really enjoy that. So listen to that next week. Right.
And should I get a week off?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, shall we crack on with what we're supposed to be talking about? But that was good, because we do get messages from people who don't know who we are. So now hopefully everybody's caught up.
Louise is the Yorkshire one.
Yeah.
I'm the down south one.
I'm the Yorkshire one with a slightly weird accent because it's got bits of everything in it. So what have you been up to? Let's catch up, because when did we last speak? It was quite a bit before Christmas.
Yeah, it was a nice, we've had a really nice Christmas break. And I have to say, it has been a very nice Christmas break. And what has been interesting for me is what happens in the rest periods. I realise that my life is bigger and broader than a lot of the things I spend my time doing. And I have more time to appreciate all of those things too.
Say more about what you mean.
I mean, time, we have a lovely local high street here, and I'm not a shopper, but time to go out and wander and browse for the enjoyment of it. Mm-hmm. I've had more time to take care of myself, things like clearing out my wardrobe, making sure that the clothes I have, I enjoy wearing. cooking, jigsaw puzzles, playing games. We had a good jigsaw puzzle, which didn't show you on the box what the picture was. You got a different picture on the box, and then the puzzle you were making was what happened next.
Interesting.
So that was fun. We did lots of decorating the house with my daughter. Yeah, cooking different things. We had people to stay. I had more time for reading, cinema. We went to see Wonka, which was fantastic, with my parents. Just all of those kind of things. It was lovely.
Yeah.
And yeah, feel a lot more relaxed. And has been a real, real mental note to self. This needs to continue.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been so fixated on work for the last few years that I have let a lot of things go. And after the holiday, after the Christmas holiday, I went off for a 10-day trip with my best friend to New York. And it's funny because we first traveled together when we were 19, probably. We went off to Europe interrailing together. And now we're coming back after all these years. I'm not going to say how many, but quite a lot, with less hair on his part and more weight on my part, but still here and still kicking and still traveling together. And he's still the best traveling companion you could ever have. He always was. And we just had such a great time. But a lot of why we had a great time was what you said. It was allowing all this other stuff in. Yeah. It was going to the theatre to see something unusual. It was meeting up with people and just having fun social time. It was going for long walks around Manhattan, like long walks, and just walking to see where we get to. And you can do that in that city. It's amazing. You can just keep walking and you just go through neighbourhood after neighbourhood after neighbourhood, and you can walk comfortably on pavements everywhere. And yeah, it just experiencing a lot more of life than I've been allowing in. And it really opened up my mind for this year too. I asked myself at the beginning of the year, and I asked my group, how do you want to feel? Not what goals do you want to set, which is what I usually ask them. Like, what are your goals? Big rocks, all that. I just this year said, think about how you want to feel and then work backwards. And how I felt on that trip is how I want to feel. And of course, you can't feel like that all the time when you live somewhere completely differently. So I said to my friend John as we were coming back, I said, you know, I just want to sustain this feeling, but I don't know how to do it where I am. And he said, well, there's a performance at Bingley Little Theatre next week we could go to. And I was like, that's really not what I was talking about. But okay, we're going to go to Bingley Little Theatre and see whatever this play is. But I know how I can do that. I know what I can do. I can go on more trips. I can go to more cities. I don't want to live in that environment, but I do want more of the split between the two, I think, now. I think I'm ready to do more travelling. More of a sense of, oh, there's life there outside my email box and my computer software programs that I'm working in all the time. And that can be fun too.
It's a tricky split, isn't it? Because I'm sure there are people listening who are going, well, duh.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, well, good for you. Bully for you.
You know, but also...
just learning.
Yeah, people who have got that balance... right. But I think the reason that it's tricky is because when you're focused on something new, it does absorb a lot of your energy and your intellectual capacity. And I think as artists, we have a hunger for learning things new. Mm. And, you know, a lot of the things about building a business, if you put them in the category of this is something that I'm exploring to learn, they can feel as fun and creative, and they can be absorbing and frustrating and rewarding in the same way that making any kind of art can be. And it's very easy, and I would go so far as to say sometimes necessary, to be that focused and absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't suit you all the time. So it's just
all the time. Yeah.
It's just a bit of adjustment, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking back on some of the highlights of that experience, and you must get this a lot because you live in the middle of a big city, but New York is particularly, I think, friendly. Like, people think of it as not a friendly place. It really is. People are lovely. And just conversations that we had in restaurants with waiters, or the diner that we ended up popping into in the morning for breakfast, and the guys in there who, when we walked in, would go, "Hey, you guys." And that thing of interaction with interesting people who are just flitting in and out. They're not people you're going to ever get to know. They're just flitting in and out, but they're enlivening your worldview. And there are many benefits to living where I live. You know, the beauty, the peace, it's everyone says nature's good for you and that being in nature, well, I'm surrounded by it all the time, but I'm not meeting stimulating, interesting people just when I walk my dog.
Yeah.
Not all, you know, yeah. I'm meeting the same people that I see every time when I walk my dog and we have a quick chat and they're lovely, but it's not different people.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, being, having access to the kind of art that you have in a larger city. And of course I can come down to London for this too. This is not only in that, certainly that's not only in New York. It gave me a lot of clarity. The exhibitions I saw gave me a lot of some clarity about what I like, what I want, where I want to see myself fitting in, and what I can actually dismiss and say, no, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be part of that world. So that was good as well. So just bringing a lot more variety of experience in this year, I think.
Mm.
You know, that's what I want to do. I think after I left New York, I spent a lot, we were back home and I was like rooting myself like a plant, like, don't make me move from here because I'm putting down my roots. And if you make me move anywhere, I won't feel settled. And it's taken me a long time. And then I've had personal upheavals and stuff and family illnesses and all sorts of things, but now I feel like my roots are down properly and I can start branching out again.
It's that secure center thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you get this variety because you have your place in Devon.
Yeah, I get the contrast. So we have a place in Dartmoor, which is kind of granity moor national park area. I again love it for the open, the freedom, the quiet, the wildness of it. It's very in contrast to living in London, which is busy and noisy. Not always noisy, but like if you go into central London, busy and bustly. And it really was. And we just did some, like, just go into London and went round Fortnum and Mason's and didn't buy a dressing gown for £1,800, but, you know, it's fun to look. We did those kind of trips. And I always used to say that, you know, there's a saying, isn't there, bored of London, bored of life. But I really used to feel it. Like, even just going on the tube, even if you just go on the underground, the posters for things going on, mm-hmm. you know, and the plays and there's just so much happening. You just have to go out and open your eyes, really. And there's stuff there. But I think what you're saying about just the everyday interactions, and it comes back to this idea of opening up doors and just, like, I suppose the question is, like, what are you available for, or what do you want to be available for? Because you can see all of those interactions as, you know, intrusive or like hassly on your nervous system. Like, oh, people talking to me, I just want the peace and quiet. And I think so much of it comes down to where you are and what do you need at that particular time. And the same thing can be either stimulating and exciting or grating, depending on how you are. And, you know, this is the same for me. And like I said earlier, shopping. I hate shopping. I really don't like going shopping for clothes unless I'm in a moment where I really do, and then I have fun. I went out yesterday to buy a pair of shoes and they were half price in the sale, and then I found another pair, and then I found a pair of boots. I've been looking for a pair of boots, I can't tell you, to replace the ones I have that I love but are about to fall apart, I'm sure, for about 2.5 years. And when I look for them, when I go looking for them,
they're not quite comfy,
or the heel's too high, or the toes are a bit tight, or there's a buckle in it. Like, I couldn't find them. And then yesterday they were just like, oh, there's a pair of boots and they're half price. Brilliant. Great. Done. Mm. And it was a totally different experience. It was just being in the right place and being open to whatever comes. And I think I've had some experiences over the last few weeks, and I think what it's really reiterated again is sometimes it's as easy as just saying yes.
Mm. Yes.
Like when something like that, even the opportunity of going to New York, there could have been 100 reasons why you chose where you could have not gone.
I gave myself all of the 100. Mm.
And at the end of the day,
John gave himself all of the 100. And then between us, we came to our, you know, scared little decision to do it. And then it was so good. And because our whole trip was, we said, let's not go up anything or in anything. Or in other words, let's not do the tourist stuff, because we've been a million times.
Yeah.
We don't need to do any of that. Let's just do the stuff. Like, let's just walk and see things. And then let's, if we see something we want to do, let's go do it.
Yeah.
So that was great, because we stumbled upon Chelsea Markets, which is just this really cool place with all different vendors and artists and amazing food. But if we'd set off to look for Chelsea Markets, maybe it would have been a disappointment when we got there. Like, oh, it's not quite as good as I was thinking. But we didn't even know what it was. And we just walked in and, oh, this is cool. So there's a nice openness to that experience that you can't have if you make plans. And maybe when you go somewhere really new, you do have to make some plans. But I think you said this on a recent vacation, that you just decided to just wander and see what happened.
We do it quite often when we go away. And the funny thing, that having done that, and it started 25 years ago now, the 25th wedding anniversary in a week's time, we went to Thailand on honeymoon, and we were traveling around, and we'd done a few of like, oh, here's the places to see. And then we arrived somewhere, I can't remember where now, and we just thought, oh, let's just wander. And we just wandered and found the most beautiful temple, which is not hard to do in Thailand, because there are lots of them. But it was no less of an experience than going to the big one that was on the list of the guidebook. And the other thing that happens quite often is, if you're just wandering around a city loosely, is you come across the key things anyway.
Yes.
Like, it just happens anyway. They're there across your path, but you're not doing it to an itinerary and a schedule, and it feels more of a discovery. And it's a nice way of doing things. So
yeah, John, the other thing, saying yes to things, I tried really hard, and I succeeded, I think, on this trip, to just say yes to whatever, and even if I didn't think. And John's a Christian, and when we first arrived, there was a little church near the hotel amongst all the skyscrapers, and it looked very open and welcoming. He's also gay, so some churches are like, but he said, oh, that one, I think I might go there on Sunday morning and just go to the service. And he said, if you want to come with me. And I was like, no, I'm not really a believer. And then I thought about it, and I went back to him and said, no, I'd like to come with you on Sunday. It'll be interesting. And it was so cool. It was the service was so different from what you'd have here. The preacher or the vicar or whatever he was, I don't know what denomination it was, but he was amazingly charismatic, and he gave this brilliant speech about what we look at and what we notice and what we see, and what we put our attention on is what we experience. And I just came out of it having got so much. But also what I came out of it with is this feeling of, the vicar said he'd been there 30 something years working in that parish. And they have all sorts of events and Alcoholics Anonymous and all sorts of stuff going on in this church, and Feed the Poor. And I was just thinking, we've walked in, and for a little bit we've experienced those people's lives, and then we've gone away again, and they're living this entire ecosystem of a life that we will never experience again, probably. The other guy who led the service had black fingernails and tattoos all over and a shaved head, but he was also in the robes, so he was obviously... I'm so ignorant of religion. I'm sorry, I don't know the terms, but it was a proper whatever. But it was such a cool experience and not something I need to do again, but it was just like real life in that place. And everyone in there was lovely and said hi to us and welcomed us. And, you know, it was great.
Is there a way that you can only do this, though, having once been a little bit familiar? So your experience of this travel, you could do that, as you say, because you felt you'd already done all of those other things. I think there's something in that as well. It's almost like the first time you do something, there are things. Okay, I've got to do that. You do have that sort of hunger and like, okay, there are these things and I've got to check this off this list. And then there comes a relaxing. So is part of it sticking through that phase first?
Maybe. Yeah. Do you have to go up the Empire State Building? I would say no, but having done it, I would say. I think those things are usually a disappointment. And with the caveat that I think if something is introduced to you by a local,
yeah,
then it's usually good. So the two things I used to do in Manhattan that someone told me when I was, that locals do or know about, is you can get on the Staten Island ferry, which goes out from the bottom of Manhattan to Staten Island, and it's the commuter ferry. You can get on for almost nothing. And then you just wait and turn around and come back, but you get the most amazing view of the skyline. That's cool. Yeah. And the other thing we actually did this time, which is, you know how they have a ball drop in Times Square and that thing comes down on New Year's Eve and everyone and fireworks go off. And it is, people say, you're going to Times Square for New Year's Eve. Here's what you have to do. You have to get there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then you're not allowed to leave again until midnight. No. So people wear adult nappies. So they Yeah, because else are you going to... There's no toilets. And you're just in a crowd and you stand there until midnight. No room. Everyone's crammed in for blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. So when we first moved there, a friend of ours who lived there said, oh, no, come to Central Park on New Year's Eve because they have these free fireworks. And we went to that for years. So anyway, time comes and I said to John, I want to go to the fireworks in Central Park, but I bet it's changed now. I bet there's fences and controls and all that. So we went out at 12:45, walked into the park, no controls, no fences, walked down to the fireworks, loads of people standing around with champagne, which they were sharing with each other. And then the fireworks went off. We watched all the fireworks. Then we strolled back to our hotel, which was right on the edge of the park, and went to bed. It was so relaxed and lovely. So it's when somebody's told you about something that they do because they think it's great, I think it's worth doing. But I don't know, touristy things, I always feel let down. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I've built them up in my head to be something that they're not going to be. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, really inspiring trip. And I saw an amazing exhibition, but I'm saving that for what's inspired.
Okay, well, I suppose next I was going to ask what's up then this year? How is all this like lovely, relaxed energy? How is this going to infiltrate into the year? If it's just how do you want to feel? How do you want to feel?
I think this is it, more stimulated, but relaxed at the same time. So not more stimulated in rush, try, do, but more stimulated in allowing experiences to come in. And so I got a couple of opportunities from that trip, a couple of invitations, and I'm going to take them up and do those things. And that's going to take me out of my comfort zone again. But I already know it'll be brilliant. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to book a couple of trips down to London. I think a key thing here is I found a dog sitter and finding a dog sitter.
Yeah.
And I hope she's staying as a dog sitter. And if she stays as a dog sitter, my dog's happy, I'm happy, I can be free. So more freedom, I think, and more of a relaxed but exciting life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there is a reality in that, isn't it? Is sometimes it can be something as banally straightforward as a dog sitter, but it's a genuine and a real block to being able to.
It really is, because I couldn't enjoy myself if I think he's upset.
Yeah, and that's often the way, I think, is that there can be the tiniest little, like, pin that's still in the way that you've just got to take out before you can do all of these things.
And that goes back to that limiting beliefs thing, because I just thought he can't be on his own. He doesn't, like, that will work. And then I found this dog sitter who works at his daycare center and knows him already. So she said she could come, but there were 2 days at the end she couldn't come. So I was like, right, well, that won't work. And then one of my friends said, I can come stay for 2 days. So they just did a handover while I was off having a good time. And he seems to have had a blast. So he got spoiled and he got a lot more attention than he got from me. So yes, it's that little belief.
When we used to go away, and the dog used to stay with my parents, and my dad used to write, he used to write us postcards or letters from the dog's point of view, telling us about the dog's stay with him. It's quite funny. So you didn't get a postcard from Riley going, oh, my owner's gone off and I think she's probably abandoned me and I have no idea if she's ever come.
No, and I'm so sad.
What I really mean, but don't tell her, but actually I'm just as happy with these new people as long as they feed me every day and walks and I'm still getting cuddles on the sofa, all is good.
Yeah, in fact I hope these people are staying and she's gone for good. What about you? What do you think? Have you thought about how you want to feel this year?
I think more open. I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, and open, just again, just a little bit looser about things, and just a little bit more free flowing, and open to things beyond art is something that keeps getting reflected back to me and back to me. Having said that, I do also have 2 exhibitions booked in, and I'm doing, just paid the deposit to do Manchester again next November.
So you will have to fit some art in.
Yes, but that's going to follow on quite nicely. I'm going to have a solo show in September, which I'm assuming will not fully sell out. If it does, then I'll have a very sparse show at Manchester. But the likelihood is I'll have enough pieces to take from one to the other. So that will be an interesting experience, because I will just be taking kind of existing work to an art fair, whereas normally I have all new work to show. So, let it be easy.
Yes.
Just let it be easy. And, you know, there was something else that came up and I thought, well, I can't possibly do that because I've got a show which is going to be at the end of May that is a shared exhibition with 2 other artists. And I thought, well, I can't possibly go away then because I've got that. And then I thought, well, you just work around it. Just let it drop in. So that's how I'm approaching things this year.
That sounds good. And I do need to squeeze some painting in. I have started again this year, just yesterday. And I've actually, going back to something we discussed on the podcast last time, I've blocked out some time. So Wednesdays and Fridays are now my painting days. And I am going to try and put everything else into the other days.
Yeah.
And even if I don't feel creative on those days, I'm going in and I'm working in a sketchbook or tidying up or doing, those are going to be, and if I get extra days, brilliant, but at least those two. And I've told people around me, those two are my painting days. So nobody's allowed, and I'll get the odd delivery driver. I can't avoid that coming and banging on the door. But other than that, my mum's not allowed to ring me. No one's allowed. That's my time. And it's up to me to set those boundaries, I've realised, and to put that into place. So that I'm going to do, except when I'm off on my travels.
It's good to see you travelling again.
Yeah, it feels good to have come back, but I really do feel I needed that time without it. It was not hard not to travel. It was like, no, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to, until you do, and then... Okay, so what's inspired? Do you have anything for what's inspired? apart from lots of experiences, all the things you talked about already.
I don't know, just oh God, life is pretty good, isn't it?
That's nice to be able to say that.
Well, you can look at the miserable bits where it's kind of rain till it's a quagmire, or you can appreciate the fact that that means you can sit inside and find a nice film on the sofa, or pick up a book and read a book in a day, and you don't have to go out because it's raining like a quagmire.
Yeah, finding the positives. It was beautiful weather. That's what you forget about American winters. They're sunny and bright almost all the time, or certainly where I lived. I'm saying America. I don't know about the whole country. But also, it's so dry that your entire skin just dries up. You need constant moisturizer. And then you come back to the UK and you get natural moisturizer, because instantly my skin stopped being dry as soon as I got back here because it's raining.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. My hands were scrubbing like Brillo pads. Yeah. So my inspiration was funny to go all the way to New York to see a Tracy Emin exhibition, but it just happened by pure luck that when I booked my exhibition, White Cube Gallery has just opened in Manhattan, and her exhibition is their first, I think it's their first exhibition. But I went there with Rachel Davis, who'd come from California, and Debbie Taylor Kerman, who we've had on the podcast, who lives in Harlem. And we all met up, and John, of course, and we all met up and saw the show together. And it was lovely to see it with other artists. There was a certain point where each of us had a tear, but it was for a different painting, like a different painting touched each of us. We could all really appreciate each other's appreciation. But one of the loveliest things was, I'd said to my friend John, you know, you're probably not gonna enjoy this, it's not really going to be for you, because he's not into visual art really, and certainly not anything as confronting as that. Anyway, we were all talking, and then he came up to me after about 10 minutes and he said, "This is amazing. This is so inspiring." And he really got it. It was an exhibition. The first floor was quite painful, seemed to be about her near-death experience. Then you went up to the second floor, and that was all about love and passion and a couple together. And he got that totally. He was like, "Oh, I felt really dark on the first floor, but on up here, I'm having all these memories of all these relationships." And I'm just, he was, and then after we left, we all sat down and talked about, like, actually, no, John and I sat down and talked about what it meant for our own work and for his writing, like how he felt once he'd seen that raw expression and how he could get that more into his writing. So it was just incredibly inspiring. And separate from that, I went to MoMA and I had the same experience in the Museum of Modern Art that I had in the Tate Modern, which was like this feeling of being bombarded by random bits of art that didn't belong together.
Do you think it's that hodgepodge when they have so many, rather than an exhibition focused around one?
That's what I realized. I need the whole, the artist making their statement together.
Yeah.
Not, and then there's this, and then there's that, and then there's this. My head just starts to explode and I get so tired. I did go back and visit my Jackson Pollock painting. It's mine, it's not anybody else's. And I went and saw that again. And that is in a space with other abstract expressionists. So that bit of the museum at least makes a bit more cohesive sense. But even so, there's a Rauschenberg here and a Jasper Johns here and a Jackson Pollock here. They didn't mean their art to be seen that way. And I know we can't have it all in one place, but I find it just exhausting. So I've learned that no, for me, it's much better to go see an artist's show than to try and see these big museums where everything's in there. It just drains me completely. I get angry, actually, and I don't know why I'm angry. I don't know who I'm angry at, but I get like irritated and angry, and I just need to get out of there. So
that'd be interesting.
Lesson for myself.
Dig into. Right. Well, that was a lovely catch up. I'm not back in the studio yet because I've got I've got this small retreat that I'm hosting in London next week.
Oh, so yeah, have a lovely time.
All my kind of focus and energy has been on that and preparing for that. And then I'll be back in the studio after that, because I've just been absorbing a lot in preparation for that. It's not knowing exactly what it's going to be for people.
Yeah, so that's quite say. It'll be really interesting to see what it is for you as well.
So it goes back to this idea of openness and trust, really. But yeah, anticipation and excitement is building for that, and let's see where that leads or not, whether there'll be more or not.
Yeah, I feel like it's the beginning of something, but we'll have to see.
I feel like I'm trying not to be too excited about it.
Mm. But you look really excited.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting year, I think, because things will change. Well, they always do, don't they? Let's be real. There's never a year where nothing changes.
No.
Like, and at the beginning of New Year, and it's just like, what do you expect is going to happen? It's going to be different. There's going to be good bits. It's going to be crap bits. Like, there always is in every year. But
can I have the year without any crappy bits, please? No. Not on the menu.
I don't know. No. Would you, I mean, this is a whole other subject, but you wouldn't want to have a life without any, like, sometimes it's dealing with the crappy bits. A, it makes you appreciate the good bits more. Mm-hmm. And you learn so much from the crappy bits, including, like you say, this, you know, just things about boundaries around your own time, or so often those come from when you've been in a place where you're like, okay, no, this is enough now. This is enough. This is not happening this way. And there are always things that you can control or not control.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, would you want to live somewhere where it was perpetual summer?
No.
Not really. It doesn't mean to say I have to love every element of winter, but I still like the variety.
Yeah, you need. We were talking about that film, Shadowlands. Have you ever seen that with Anthony Hopkins? And it's all about that. It's about death, but also about how you cannot grieve unless you've been happy. Mm. And it's really a moving film. I recommend that to anyone who hasn't seen it. Look it up. It must be on Netflix or somewhere. Shadowlands with Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's it for us.
Lovely.
Then.
Lovely. All right. Well, tune in again next week and we'll see what the year brings for Art Juice. All right.
Take care. Bye.